Last week, I got some tickets to see the Rolling Stones when they come to Seattle next month, and I want to see the old guys. I want to see them. They want to see those 80-year-old men and their skin and bones, and it's, you know.
You got your tickets, what, $60?
Yeah, they were cheap tickets, and, you know, I've been following these guys my whole life, and you just want to see them one last time, pay my last respects. That's kind of the relationship that people our generation have with our favorite artists. We like seeing them.
Say thank you
sometimes,
one more time.
Even if they're not as good as they used to be or even as close as they used to be, sometimes it's just about going through the gates and looking at them and seeing them maybe one last time. Well, today's youth, it doesn't seem like they have that need, that physical connection with the person. If this is going to continue through their lives, their concert-going experiences, at Coachella this weekend. Coachella is one of the biggest concert festivals of the year, and it happens down in the California desert every year. And
Indio.
They had the first weekend this past weekend, and they'll have another one coming up this weekend, and it's mostly like, I don't know, like top 40 performers, I guess. And one of the biggest acts to perform this past weekend is an act that'll be coming to Seattle next year. And it's not even human, is this act. This is an act that it's a digital singer, an avatar that's on stage. Now, I guess how this differs from a hologram is, you know, there's the abattoir, there is a... Who else has been hologrammed out on tour? ABBA's the one that comes to mind right now.
Ronnie James Dio.
Ronnie James Dio. So they have footage of Ronnie James Dio from, you know, some past.
The Last in Line tour.
Yeah. And then maybe they'll have a live band up on stage that backs up.
And you're actually seeing a videotape or a hologram of a human person.
Yeah, so you're not seeing Ronnie James Dio on a video screen, but you're seeing, yeah, everybody knows what holograms are, right? You can kind of picture what that is. But there's actually like a band in a lot of cases. There'll be a live band up on stage performing with that hologram. And this is footage of this person, you know, presumably in their prime. Well, this is what was at Coachella this weekend, and what's coming to Seattle next year on its tour is it's an avatar on stage. It's a digital singer. It's a bunny with a woman's voice. It's described as kind of a rapping rabbit. And this is a popular whatever it's called, Miku, and it's very popular among that generation. In fact, it was in Vancouver, BC earlier this month. She sells out concerts worldwide. I'm saying she, well, it's, I guess, yeah. It's a female rabbit. So
what do they have backstage? Some carrots, you know, little water dish.
Yeah, I don't
whatever
know
you need.
I don't know that you get to meet
a rabbit.
I don't think you
how
get
the meet
to
and greets
I don't
go.
Think you get to meet the avatar after the show or before the show. But the story here says it's part of an expanding group of digital non-human performers that are attracting the attention of music fans and brands as well. Because these avatars are also getting endorsements. They've generated fans from younger generations. These are kids who, of course, are, you know, grew up in the online world and are comfortable interacting with digital characters. So it's not that weird for them at all. A music and an emerging technology agent at CAA, that's like the biggest agency,
creative artists agency
out there, yeah, says when you think about what that looks like moving forward, those kids are going to be so used to being in those realms that a lot of their entertainment is going to come from that space as well, like concerts. Like, you know,
sure.
20, 30 years from now, these kids today...
There won't be any real musicians playing. You'd have to go to some underground jazz club to hear it or
something.
There
might still be some real musicians, yeah. but they could be going to avatar shows as much as they're going to see real musicians perform.
I went to a thing on Friday night, first time, almost kind of like this, where there wasn't an avatar or anything, but one of Taryn's coworkers, Danny, hosts a thing. They do it like once every quarter, and they do it all over the country. There'll be, you know, every city will have one, you know, every 3-4 months called Emo Night. And Emo Night is like, it was completely packed. We went to Numo's on Capitol Hill, and the whole place was packed out. And basically, this is just a DJ playing songs from the 90s, like, and everybody sings along, and I don't... It's not so much like a dance, like a club dancing. It's just people singing and acting out the lyrics, and they jump up on stage, and there's not a band or anything. There's no real video or anything going on, but they just celebrate these songs. And when she's telling me we're going to go to Emo Night, I'm thinking The Cure. I'm thinking The Smiths. I'm thinking Morrissey. Yeah. I'm thinking all the... that. To me, that's what emo is, you know? I mean, like... like sad stuff.
That was our generation. Or whatever.
But
yeah.
But we get there and it's Blink 182 and Fall Out Boy and Jimmy Eat World and Panic at the Disco and Linkin Park and All American Rejects and stuff. And most of the crowd is, you know, I'm 20. I'm the oldest person in the building. And
that's my son's music. That's Tyler and Cameron's music.
That's Emo Night. He'll go, tell him to go to Emo. Look for an Emo Night. Google when one's coming to his city. He will absolutely love it. It was so much fun. And I knew like, one out of every four songs or something. But just the people watching and the... It was fun.
So I guess
and it wasn't even a real concert.
The point of this conversation is, I guess, is that I don't know. We could be coming to the end of live bands and live musicians on stage, at least being the majority of concerts. These concerts can generate nearly $1 million a show. Now, if you think about that, they can make $1 million a show. That's for an avatar. So your expense and everything.
There's no overhead.
You don't have to worry really about insuring the show either. Yeah. For that matter, you have to worry about the lead singer getting sick. I mean, you might have to worry about somebody pulling a plug somewhere or the motherboard going out on a computer that's running this thing. But besides that, there's probably little less. There's much less possibility of something going wrong when you're talking about an avatar versus four or five 80-year-old guys up on stage.
Well, and the thing too is like I when we walked into Numo's, I'm looking at some of the concert posters of, you know, acts that are coming or have, you know, recently played there stuff, and I'm looking at the names of these artists, and then I'm looking at this room completely packed with people, and I'm like, I guarantee you those bands were not pulling in this crowd. It was, you know, I guarantee you.
Yeah. I think there'll always be live music that'll be around. It'll always be a part of it, but it seems like this generation, this younger generation, is going to make it less and less as they're, you know, in tune with these digital, you know, avatars and everything else. They don't have the need so much for the live music. But they also do.
Nobody appreciates the guitar solo anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I get a drum solo?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what's going to, it would be weird to have 70,000 people inside the Seahawks stadium looking at some kind of avatar thing on stage, but next year that thing is coming to Seattle and it's performing and it's selling out everywhere it goes.